Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are broadcasting live from Ed's Seafood Shed on a brisk evening on Mobile Bay.
Fantabulous and, seafood shed.
And we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, with their representative, Miss Jennifer Bird, here with us tonight. Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion if you would like to talk about any of the topics that we cover or have some of your own. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And we have got a packed show coming up for you tonight, so if we can't get to everything, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. As Tom mentioned, later on we will talk with Ms. Jennifer Bird from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. She'll get us up to speed on the latest legal issues facing our veterans in 2019. We'll also talk with Brian Knight from the Fight or Die Rowing Team. He'll give us some updates there. Also, a new program might bring dental benefits to all veterans. Now, that would be a big
deal. Be an awesome addition. Addition to
absolutely.
Our vets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, of course, Tom's Tirade on the night before Christmas. Who knows what's coming out?
I enjoyed doing that one.
But first, it is a pleasure to be joined on air by a great supporter of our military and veterans, Mr. Panini Pete, from here at Ed's Seafood Shed. Pete, welcome back, and thanks for having us here at the shed today.
Great to be here. I didn't know anything about it, so, you know, having you guys here. I host you guys. No, it's good to be here. I love you guys. I love what you're doing, and I love anything we can do to support the troops and the veterans.
Outstanding. Well, speaking of that, I know you're always traveling all over the world. Do you have any trips planned with the Mess Lords to go and do a little cooking?
We have got some great tours set up for next year. I've already got, I think, five or six in the books. We're doing Eastern Europe. We're doing a European tour. We're going to be doing Djibouti and Bahrain again. We'll be doing Gitmo, Pensacola.
Y'all need a hay boy? You need a hay
Naples,
boy to go with
Italy. Yeah, I was looking for one that didn't quite have your certain...
In other words, you'd have to cut my vocal
hair,
cords or something. Blonde hair.
Blue eyes.
I don't fit that.
Keep me out of trouble, though, if we get over there.
Oh, yeah. I could be your hay boy.
Yep.
But we do have quite a trouble. He could get you into trouble, too,
yes,
Pete.
Absolutely. He's done that already. Are you kidding me? I'm in trouble right now. I'm in the corner. I got a headset on. I should be cooking hush puppies or something.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of cooking, we had some fabulous food earlier tonight here. That Causeway Hot Catfish.
Woo-wee!
That is outstanding stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you can't get past the shrimp though. Now
that's the classic dish here. The shrimp.
You can't get away from the shrimp and hush puppies.
So you know these hot dishes though are all the craze now coming out of Nashville. So we put our spin on it here. We got the great cheese grits in a bowl with a nice pile of those southern greens right in the middle.
Oh yeah, southern
and
comfort
some fried
food, man.
Catfish on top with that spice base. So you get southern this Causeway Hot
food,
Catfish.
Yeah.
And it is. It's got a little bit of a kick to it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It does.
But it's a great combination of southern food there, and I understand you guys are going to be rolling out some more new stuff in the new year.
Yeah, we got a new menu coming out in just a couple days. We got a shrimp taco and this new dish called shrimp on a shingle.
Taco, that's not all Mexican joint.
That's right. Well, we're doing a swampy kind of causeway version of it. You know, this ain't going to be the Tijuana
Mexican
taco.
Joint with tacos.
It's a seafood taco. But we're also in January. We're going to double the size of the bar. We're putting an oyster bar in here. We're going to be selling a lot of different varietals, farm raised. We're going to be doing like nice seafood towers with marinated
awesome.
Crab claws
right,
and oysters
right.
and colts. Oh. It's just going to keep getting better and better. It's been a lot of fun, but we just getting started, baby.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That sounds great. So where are you sourcing your oysters? Because I know there was a lot of problems, at one point with all the fresh water that was coming in.
Yeah, I mean, the fresh water is tough on those oysters. So it has been difficult, but they are coming back really strong. You know, Texas really got wiped out.
Yeah.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
Here locally, they're good. A lot of the farm-raised oysters are still really strong. Now, that's something we haven't done here yet at Ed's. We've been using what I call like a commodity oyster, Gulf oyster, that comes from Louisiana, Apalachicola, Texas, here in Alabama. But the farm-raised, you know, we're going to get into those too because they're based on where they're grown. You know, it affects the flavor and the salinity and the minerality and the vegetativeness,
but
whatever.
They say that by doing that, though, the taste, you can really tell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
They're handcrafted. I mean, they're farmed. They're really delicious. They're very consistent. You know, we took a trip out to Murder Point, and I love the Zerlots out there and what they're doing.
They're doing a great job.
You know, their hands are on every oyster out there.
Yeah.
Picking them, tumbling them, hanging them, raising them, you know, high. They get them when the tide's coming in, so they get that extra salt. They get them out of the water. All the oysters, the really good ones, they spend time out of the water, too, where they learn to shut tight and stay
right,
fresh. So
right.
when they condition these oysters their whole life. So when they get ready to get boxed up and get traveling, they're so fresh. You pop them open and they just weep.
Oh, all that being
they just
said,
weep that yeah. salty goodness.
All that being said, though, Pete, did we get away from these R months that we were accustomed to in the past, you know, of the oyster?
Yeah, that's been around for so long, and it really goes back to before good refrigeration.
Right.
When you could really get sick.
Yeah.
Now, there are certain times of year in the colder water where they do get a little more plump or whatever, but, I mean, they grow so well here. Oysters are good, and they're fresh, and they're delicious year-round. Right.
They're awesome. Glad to see you guys partaking with us.
Well, good to have you guys here.
Good to
get on here for a moment and just talk a little things, Eds. But I know you guys got more important stuff to holler about out here.
Well, there's nothing better than food.
Yeah, you got a point there, Tom.
Maybe the ladies, though.
I don't know. I can do without one. I'm not going to switch, but,
what,
you know.
What?
Your man's got to eat, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Win. I'm getting old, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, I noticed
you
got one of your shirts on from Squid Ink. That's the latest offering.
Squid Ink is so hot. It is so cool. You know, that's the Mobile store in downtown right on Dolphin Street was where Panini Pete's was for the last 5 years. And we converted it to this gastro pub. Lunch, dinner, cocktails.
Y'all get tattoos down there?
Yeah, we have actually stick-on tattoos. We do.
Well, you would think Squid Ink. I mean, that makes me think it's a tattoo shop.
We kind of play into that culture, you know, that tattoo culture with the logo and the ink. And we actually have Squid Ink in some of the drinks. I've got the logo right here, you'll notice. And but we play with Mobile's history. So we were under French rule, Spanish rule, British rule, and I bring that into some of the food. So we've got paella fritters,
sure,
and Cadillac
sure.
burgers, and we got Spanish SOS. I know you military guys have heard of SOS.
Yeah, but it wasn't Spanish.
No, this is squid on a shingle.
Oh, squid.
And it's calamari a la plancha over grilled bread. It's delicious. Lots of French influence, different plus good southern twist.
Right,
poke
right.
bowls, pressed sushi. We've got the history of Mobile all around, quotes on the back walls from Jimmy Buffett and Satchel Paige and Hank Aaron and Kenny Stabler. Yeah. And
I'd say you got a bunch of car parts hanging up on the wall, too.
Yeah, baby, the Cadillac wall.
I know, the Cadillac wall.
So Antoine Delemont Cadillac, who was one of our early –
I said that
with my pinkies up. He was one of our early French royal governors of French Louisiana, lived in Mobile, a block away from where we're at now, back in the 1700s. So anyway, I'll wrap that up. But he was a founder there. That's our Cadillac history. He founded Detroit, namesake of the Cadillac, and we honor him with many hubcaps and fun drinks and food.
Awesome facility. Great foods.
Pete, we appreciate you being on. Thanks for having us over here. Thanks for the great food, as always. And thanks for all the support you give to our military.
Thanks for paying the tab. You guys are awesome.
The important stuff. Hey, as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Miss Jennifer Bird from the law firm of Gard Bird and Kimberly. When we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. If you like to listen on demand, most of our regularly aired programs are up via podcast, most of the podcasting sites. And you can pick up Tom's tirade on demand. It's at castbox.net. Also, you can check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it's an honor to be joined on SBN by Miss Jennifer Bird from the law firm of Gard Bird and Kimberly. Jennifer, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Thank you, Cal. I appreciate y'all having me on. You know I love being here.
It's always great to have you on. You always have such great information. And I know you're kind of looking at 2019 and looking at some of the things that occurred. Obviously, there were some great decisions for our Blue Water Navy veterans.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is following up 2019 and what we're looking for in 2020. So Blue Water Navy vets Procopio case was just blown out of the water. It was fantastic. Finally gave recognition to all these Blue Water vets that they're going to be able to have the presumptions for Agent Orange like the other Vietnam veterans that have been given. And then on the heels of that, the president signed the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act and implemented it, put it into law. The only problem was that right after that, the VA Secretary Wilkie decided that he was going to put a stay on those claims until January 1st of 2020. Disappointed so many people. They were ready to get their claims going, and there was just no way to do it because the secretary decided that it wasn't going to happen. On the heels of that, they filed another lawsuit trying to get the stay lifted, and it just didn't work. Federal court said, no, the stay is going to stay in place. All that boils down to, we're now 2 weeks away from when they're going to start actually processing the Blue Water Navy vet claims, which I think is fantastic. These guys have waited so long, and it's just time.
So if somebody has a claim, do they have to wait until January 1st to file? Or can they already file, and that's when they'll start actually processing those claims?
They can already file. And I say this all the time. If you've got a claim, file it right now. They'll go back to the date that you filed the claim. That's what we're looking at. A lot of people have had claims that have been pending for years even, and those claims are still on hold until January the 1st of 2020 as well. So if you've got a claim, don't wait till January the 1st. You still got a couple of weeks here to go ahead and file a claim with the VA.
As you said, you have some of these veterans that probably have had claims out for years.
Years.
But they'll still have that effective date from when they originally filed, even though there have been changes along the way.
The effective date should be from the date that they either filed their intent to file a claim or the day they actually filed their claim. Now, if they filed an intent to file a claim and then they, within 1 year, file a claim, then it'll go back to the day of the intent to file. So there's some rules that go along with it, but absolutely, if they've had it pending for years, they're going to be processed January 1st.
Outstanding. Well, yeah, absolutely a great thing for our veterans in terms of those Blue Water claims. And there's a fairly long list of presumptive illnesses.
Yes, it's very long, and I could sit here and read it to you, but what I would suggest is that if somebody has one of these claims and they think that it may be something that falls underneath it, you can get on the website. The VA's website has all of these presumptives listed, and hopefully we'll soon be having some presumptions added to this list, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Yep. But, you know, they can also contact us as well.
Outstanding. Now, this next one is something that I think is really neat, and that's the virtual hearings.
Yes, we are very, very excited. You know, I will say that there's so many times that we talk about the VA and how long it takes to do things, but this is something that the VA and the Board of Veterans Appeals has gotten right, and that's the ability to do virtual hearings. This means that instead of having to drive to the capitals of the states to do the hearings, they can actually do them, for instance, in our office. It's a pilot program that the VA has put into place. It started being tested this year. I think it's going to be a little bit more widespread in 2020. But in the past, what would happen is if you had to go to one of these hearings and you had to change your plans, or you got sick and something came up, you had to reschedule, you're looking at a long time before you get another hearing. So with the virtual hearings, what will happen is that you can just reschedule it to be, for instance, in our attorney's office instead of having to drive those.
And that's not an insignificant thing when you look at the distances. I know in Mississippi you were going up to Jackson here, right. It's Montgomery. But Florida, I mean, if you've got somebody in the panhandle.
They're having to go to St. Petersburg. It's a long way versus having to come, you know, an hour and a half maybe to our office or, mm-hmm. you know, somebody else's. Let me give you an example. In early November, the board was able to expedite a terminally ill veteran's hearing request by using this virtual technology. So what happened is the board made sure that the technology was ready and working so that the hearing could take place. So the veteran was actually testifying from his hospital bed. His representative was in the regional office, and then the judge was in Washington, D.C. So they're all in different places, but the veteran was still able to have his hearing, have his story heard, and not have to wait or get it put off. I mean, he was very ill. It was time that he had to.
That is just awesome.
This is a pretty fantastic thing.
It is just awesome.
We're very, very excited about this.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that your office can handle for veterans.
Yes, yes, it can. We had our first one on December the 3rd. It worked very, very well. We're very pleased with it, and apparently the board was very pleased with it because we've had hearings at our office ever since then. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been having hearings at the office, and it's just going really great. It's less travel time, less expense for the clients, and quite honestly, it's more comfortable too. Going to the regional offices, you have to sit, and there are some times where you'll have to sit in our office as well, but, you know, our office is going to be a lot more comfortable.
Oh, yes, y'all have the coffee pot and then, you know, nice people walking around being nice to you.
Then
they actually speak to you.
Yeah, and you can adjust the temperature a little bit. Our chairs are probably a little bit more comfortable than what's in the regional offices.
Yeah, that's just awesome to see it happen and occur here in Mobile, and it's really neat for Gardberg and Kimberly to be on the lead of this.
I'm very excited. And like I said, we had our first one December 3rd, and I actually did that hearing, and I was very pleased because it worked out really good for my veteran.
That's
outstanding. Now, a big topic, and I think is probably going to be one that we're going to see more about in the future, but that's the burn pits.
That's right. And I know we've talked about this a little bit, and y'all have heard me say it. I think your listeners have heard me say it. This is our generation's Agent Orange. There are so many problems that are coming back that the people that were over there in Iraq and Afghanistan that have been exposed to these burn pits, that they're suffering with so many health problems. And there's a wide gamut of health problems. It's not just limited to a few things. It's anything from respiratory to skin problems, kind of the same way that you are with Agent Orange. You know, it's from here to there, and that's what's going on. And there's a huge push right now to have some legislation put out that will actually benefit our veterans that are coming back with the burn pit stuff. So a couple of them that I want to talk about is the HOPE Act. That's representative from Ohio and representative from California has introduced this in August. And I think that this is going to be a really good one. It was passed by the House, actually, December 12th, 2019. It's pretty great. There's some other things that are tacked onto it, you know, that our legislatures usually do. But it's going to be good. The other one is the Veterans Burn Pit Exposure Recognition Act of 2019. And that was actually introduced by Dan Sullivan. He's a representative out of Alaska. He's a Marine, Mr.
Hoorah!
Tom.
Yes,
and,
hoorah!
I think it's going to be something really great. So that's just something we need to keep our eye on. Once again, if you think that you've got a claim from one of these burn pits, if you're exposed to it, you've got some medical problems going on, get your claim filed. Do not wait to see if they're going to recognize it.
And I think, finally, you've got a little bit of an update on some things coming up in the new year.
Yes. So in 2020, actually just within the last couple of days, I think on Monday, the federal funding bill was introduced in our legislature that has a new thing tacked onto it that says that the VA has to report to Congress within 30 days why there's been a two-year delay of adding the four presumptives to the Agent Orange list. And those are bladder cancer and the Parkinson's-like tremors, hypertension, and then the hypothyroidism. And this is something that veterans have been fighting for a while. Along with it, though, there has to be a cost estimate, and they are requiring the VA to give a firm date of when they're going to make a decision, because in March of this year, it was said that it was going to be made in 90 days. Well, here we're in December, and we still don't have a one. Then our Secretary Wilkie says that it's going to be in early 2020. If this goes through, it's going to say you have to give us an actual date and you have to stick to it.
Outstanding.
So.
Awesome.
Well,
that's
Jennifer,
great.
We appreciate you being on with us. Thank you so much for all the things that you do for our veterans. Where can folks go for more information or get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with us at garberglaw.com or contact us at 251-343-1111.
Outstanding. Thank you again. Thank you. Hey, on the other side of the break, Mr. Bryant Knight with the Fight or Die Rowing Team when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, A Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. We are broadcasting live this evening from Ed's Seafood Shed out on Mobile Bay. Had some great grub earlier with the FM Talk 106.5 crew. And now we are just kind of hanging out, chilling, and enjoying the atmosphere here at Ed's. But I know, Tom, you want to go ahead and thank some of the sponsors, right?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the folks that took it to help make this show possible. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And it is a privilege to be joined on SBN by Mr. Brian Knight from the Fight or Die Rowing Team. Brian, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on board with us. I know we've got another crew is out there in the middle of the Atlantic as we speak. What are you hearing from them?
The first 5 days was a little rough. They initially got out there and immediately got into high seas from the race start. On an average of about 10 to 12 foot swells, but winds were pushing them south and southwest, and so they were able to get pretty good grasp on placement within the race. So currently, they've rowed about 397 nautical miles, and we're super proud of them. They're in 16th place overall, which is a great position this early on in the race.
Yeah, we were just talking with somebody who said that I think with all the high seas, they'd kind of drop back a little bit, but they seem to be coming on pretty strong.
Yeah, there was a wind change, and with that, they were getting broadsided early on and started to fall back. I think they fell back to 19th position And there was a shift in the winds maybe it was like 2 days ago where they were able to go just due south, and they just pointed the boat due south, and they were able to jump back in, you know, back into that, you know, middle position of the race. So we're pretty happy where they are right now.
Well, Brian, how are the guys, how are they doing being there, you know, like, fifth or sixth day? And this is a brand-new ball game for them and all. You know, are they doing okay?
Yeah, their spirits are high. I spoke with them 2 days ago while they were out there, and you know, they're tired, naturally. They're getting used to their shifts of 3 hours on, 3 hours off. And that's a very hard transition for, you know, for anybody, as you can imagine, to,
well, you know it,
you
very
know,
well,
24 hours nonstop. Yeah, we did it last year, and that was, you know, the last year's team, we're all talking, and it's very similar. And it's not just our team that's going through it. It's all 35 of those teams that are out there. But they're getting into a really good cadence and a really good pace right now, and they're starting to get used to the shift work and used to the task at hand of racing the boat. And I think from here on out, we should start seeing some really good movement with the team.
So what we're really looking at, and what you're saying, is that we would normally say, okay, they're getting their second win now. They've got a rhythm going, and they will get to doing a little bit better job and they actually make some more time.
Well, that's the goal.
That's awesome. Do you foresee any other severe weather now? I mean, do you have any news as to whether or not you're going to run into some more real bad weather now or not?
It's right now. The weather is in, I mean, they've got pretty good weather conditions right now. It's clear out there, and you know, we haven't seen, you know, if there's been any rain, and they probably won't get into more of the rain areas until they get further down in their latitudes, closer towards the equator, and they start seeing those late winter storms and those showers, and that'll actually feel really good for them.
Right.
That
being said, you guys are still working with the University of Denver?
Yep. We're still partnered with the University of Denver. Actually, the University of Denver was there in La Gomera with the team prior to the race for about a week, and just getting them mentally prepared for, you know, such a task at hand, and right. That was really good. And what the students are doing, they'll take, you know, that information and be able to apply it to the programs of what they're doing at the University of Denver.
So in essence, the knowledge that these guys are gaining from the college is to establish a new program at the college for these doctors, but be more familiar and have more familiarity with PTSD and TBI.
And absolutely.
Stress-related
factors. That's what we want to do, is we want to establish a baseline. I mean, this isn't combat, and this isn't a lot of the stressors that our servicemen and women go through when they're deployed. But, you know, there's a lot of similarities in preparation, just like any unit prepare for deployment. Yeah. You have to do that for this race.
Yeah.
And
the mission,
the planning and the execution and the training that goes along with that.
Well, it goes along with the mission. It goes along with the mission. I said, it goes along with the mission. You've been assigned a mission, just like we all do in service, and they had to prepare for it. Now they're in the middle of it. But I would think that the stress that these guys are under there with this 3 hours on, 3 hours off, like, 40 days or whatever it takes, are going to have a lot of relations to how the guys are handling themselves under stress here as well as in combat.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of, you know, being a study of the University of Denver and the Sturm Specialty of Military Psychology. is, you know, like I said, we want to be able to do this annually and to have to create that baseline of knowledge,
right.
Those future doctors that want to work with our veterans and veteran communities that want to go to work with the VA, that they're not just getting out of school without any experience, and you know, being able to work with veterans, that are currently under stress, and help prepare them for that, and
right,
then help
right.
prepare them or help them while they're currently out there in the ocean, and the debrief that goes along post once they hit the finish line.
Right. Well, we're getting down to the closing of the segment. Give us a little tell our people how they can find out about you guys, also what they can do about maybe buying a mile in their names, nautical mile on your donation sheet, however you have that established.
Yep, absolutely. So, people can go to our Facebook page, Fight or Die, and the OR is spelled like a boat OR, so it's OAR, Fight or Die. You can check us out on Twitter. You can check us out on Instagram. We currently have a Sponsor a Nautical Mile campaign that started when the team launched on race day, and that'll go throughout their time while they're out on the ocean. And so you can actually sponsor one of the miles that they've crossed while they're crossing the Atlantic. And it's $10 a nautical mile. You go to our website, you go to our Facebook page, you go to the link, and it's pretty, just follow the steps.
Sounds great. Well, Bryant, we appreciate you being here with us, and thanks for working with the Fight or Die Rowing Team, everything you're doing to help our veterans and troops with PTSD and TBI. Best of luck, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much, and I love the Barry Sadler song. So, I'm a former Green Beret, and, that song means a lot to us.
Played it just for you.
Outstanding. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on the night before Christmas. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
America's best 100 men will test today, but only three.
Tonight, Tom shares the microphone for a very special Scuttlebutt Network Christmas tirade entitled "'Twas the Night Before Christmas in D.C.," with an homage to Clement Clark Moore. Now snuggle up on this cold winter's night for the telling of A Night Before Christmas.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through D.C., not a creature was stirring. They'd all left, you see, in their Learjets and limos. They've fled the Beltway, heading home for vacations that would last until May. In betwixt the impeachment of Trump, the polls passed a budget kicking us in the rump. There'll always be money, exclaimed Pocahontas, as they tried to foist Medicare for All upon us. Vive la Revolution, exclaimed Ilhan Omar. On display was her ignorance both near and far. And Nancy Pelosi, with her smile full of sat down with Chris Matthews for softballs to hit. Then in the rotunda there arose such a ruckus that had nothing to do with embracing the suckers. So momentous the occasion occurring within, it gave pause to Mad Cow with her Cheshire Cat grin. From the glow of the fire set for warmth from the cold by our homeless veterans, both young and old. Then what to my wondering eyes should appear but a motorcade built for the people to fear. With well-armed drivers on the taxpayer dole, the long lines of limos continued to roll, past the Section 8 housing and the vagrants with packs, past our wounded warriors laying flat in their racks, past the war memorials for all to see. I knew in a moment it must be Pelosi. More rapid than IRS agents they came. I think she teared up as she called them by name. Now Nadler, now Sanders, now Blumenthal and Schiff. On Comey and Brennan and Page and Strzok. To hell with Horowitz and damn you, Bill Barr. It's time for impeachment to shine like a star. because the people are restless and they're threatening our jobs. We'll be out on the streets with those Antifa mobs. So up to the house well, the bureaucrats flew, with handouts for Johnny, free birth control for Sue. Her eyes, how they shone, all glassy and merry. Looks like Pelosi been hitting the sherry. Or maybe the Botox, we're told, is her thing. Heck, maybe the gin from the house cloakroom sink. With the crazy one Adam Schiff close by her side, they could toast to each other, Republicans locked outside. At the taxpayer trough, their great thirst they could slake, while AOC was out to say, we'll all eat green cake. With Schiff's fingers all gnarled and a vent of his spleen, total power was his, just like old Palpatine. Or maybe he's like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, with money to spare and a thing for the cheerings. Then out on the mall there arose such a clatter, DC cops were dispatched to see what was the matter. Who could be out on a night such as this? We've no more to give, not even a piss. Then what to their hollowed out eyes should appear, but legions of veterans from far and near. With families in tow and legacies to bear, with visions of comrades they would not easily scare. And then, in a twinkling, they saw in the sky shadows cast by the parachutes passing right by. For the oath they had taken had finally kicked in, and our patriots had come in support of their kin. For the budget deal passed and announced with fanfare, in the hopes that the people just wouldn't care, was full of new spending and well lacking in cuts, with our veterans once again kicked in the guts. And oh, had the bureaucrats played the game well, and why not? They could count on the media sell. So forgotten were men fought at beaches like Juneau, while the brave politicians cared for numero uno. They were wrapped in the flag from their heads to their feet, and the drum and the fife was their marching to beat. They fell in with precision and accounted for all, and stepped off of the line into Congress's hall. Some were young, some were old, some invisibly scarred. Some had purple heart bodies horrifically marred. They had paid for our freedoms abroad and at home, with a thousand-yard stare and more miles yet to roam. They spoke not a word and went straight to their works, filling stockings with coal and ignoring the jerks, and snapped to attention as if on command, and saluted Old Glory with a war-wearied hand. Both Pelosi and Schiff they then turned their attention and rendered a different salute at their mention. With a steely-eyed glare coming from every face, they fell in once more and took leave of the place. They marched on like ghosts from the future and past, with a spirit our forefathers knew would e'er last. And I heard them exclaim as they marched out of sight, this is just the beginning. We've only begun to fight.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM. Streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com along with Tom Claxton, Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, just a little good Christmas fun.
That was awesome. I really enjoyed that.
But
it's all current, you know?
Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, and it's just a shame that you can actually, you know, take a look at our government and see what's going on. And it's almost laughable at times.
It is. It's the biggest damn joke that I've seen in my lifetime.
And who knows? I mean, there may be more to come. But you know, following up on a story that, well, Jennifer actually mentioned it, the burn pits and everything that's happening there. But Congress is apparently calling on the Pentagon to draft a plan within a year to close all of the remaining burn pits that are still in operation. I think there's about seven maybe that are still out there.
Still burning?
Oh, yeah. The Tom, yeah, burn pits, you know, they've come up with the Iraq and Afghanistan and the troops that were there. But, I mean, they had burn pits going back to Vietnam, Tom.
Sure.
I think part of and Jennifer was mentioning this off air, I think part of it is the magnitude of what was
it was burned
right
in Iraq and Afghanistan.
But it has, I think, has to do, and I was talking to George Williams about it a while ago, a veteran, and when he was in Nam, he said, well, man, we had burn pits there, but he said, we didn't have a lot of electronics that we put in them. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I think one of the things that's happening now, and you and I've talked about it, is we're loading in the burn pits. We're putting all of these used and abused and broken electronics, and they all have all these exotic metals and chemicals and all in them. And that stuff is not burning. It's getting into the air. And in turn, it's like, you know, what do they call it when you get into your lungs? But all that stuff is getting into your lungs, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's impregnating your lungs like some of the other things that we've had here.
Well, not only when you look at the electronics, Tom, but a lot of the medical equipment that
well,
is in there and
yeah.
the medical waste
yeah.
and all
yeah.
of those things.
Well, you know, we have some exotic medical equipment now that we've never had before, and they're using a lot of things that we never even thought about using before. So that's made a continuing problem as well.
Right. Yeah. There are nine significant burn pits. Seven in Syria, one in Afghanistan, and one in Egypt.
Oh my lord.
So there, you know,
what the hell are we doing in Egypt? We hadn't fought anything in Egypt.
No, but I think it's just because we've got a base that's there.
Oh, okay.
And, of course,
okay.
they've got to have some way to be able to dispose of some of that stuff, Tom. And that, yeah. unfortunately, is sort of the simplest path.
It's well,
just
it is,
throw it
yeah.
all in there and, you know, and set it on fire. But
well, you know, like here, if we're out on a farm or out in the country or something, you dig a big hole, if you fill it up, stuff, burn everything, then
yep.
you cover it back up. Well, you do that over there in one of those sand dunes. Well, you know, one day it's covered, the next day the wind's blowed it, and it's
well, and
those exposed.
Yeah, and the stuff that is burned, it's hanging up in the atmosphere,
right.
in those areas where right. the troops are. But anyway, hey, we want to thank everybody for listening. We've been here at Ed's Seafood Shed out here on Mobile Bay on the Causeway. Had a fantastic time.
Awesome, awesome,
great food.
Awesome. Yes.
This is going to be our last show. A live show of this year. Next week, we've got some great Christmas stories from different wars. So you can tune in, catch a little bit of that. And then, of course, the next week is New Year's. So we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hope that you will join us again soon. Tom, Merry Christmas to you and yours and everybody out there.
And the same to you and all of yours and all of our fine veterans and friends out there and to all of our veterans and first responders. A big hoorah.
Outstanding.